Good evening, everybody. James McKenna here with my Science Hour, September 5th, 2019. And as we race to the finish line of 2019, here we are coming down the home stretch. And it's the people versus the fascists. It's the fascists. They're pulling ahead now. No, the people. People are waking up. People are waking up. Down the it's on the rail, the people, and the fascists are pulling ahead. They're pulling all kinds of dirty tricks. They're throwing ropes around the people's feet, throwing anchors on them, hiding things, doing all, making all kinds of diversionary tactics with the news media. And here comes the finish line, and who's going to win? Well, we'll see. But fascism is on the rise in the world. It is unbelievable. And where John Moore made the comment the other day, I was on his show as a guest, that fascism has to do with the big businesses taking over. So I just want to read the actual definition of fascism, so we get a starting point here. So I'm going to pull this up. It's just going to take a second. Bear with me. Okay, so first start out with the Merriam-Webster dictionary definition of fascism. Often capitalized, it says, but a political philosophy, movement, or regime, such as that of the fascisti, that exalts nation and often race above the individual and stands for a centralized autocratic government headed by a dictatorial leader, severe economic and social regimentation, and forcible suppression of opposition. Okay, so that's interesting. And so let's go back and look at the Britannica, which is another, you might consider, authoritative book or dictionary. This is the Britannica dictionary. And here we go. Fascism, as per the Britannica. I'm having things flash up on my screen here. Don't we not like that? Excuse me. Get back to this. Again, okay, fascism, a political ideology and mass movement that dominated many parts of Central, Southern, and Eastern Europe between 1919 and 1945, and that also had adherents in Western Europe, United States, etc. Europe's first fascist leader was Benito Mussolini, took the name of his party from the Latin word fasces, which referred to a bundle of elm or birch rods usually containing an axe, use of the symbol of penal authority in ancient Rome. Okay, so getting into the actual characteristics of fascism per the Britannica, many things in common, including extreme militaristic nationalism, contempt for electoral democracy, and political and cultural liberalism, a belief of natural society hierarchy and the rule of elites, and the desire to create, in the German term, people's community, in which individual interests would be subordinated to the good of the nation. Okay, now, if you look at that, this is what the extreme left groups, the Democratic Party, is doing today. I mean, you just go right down the list. That's exactly what was going on in the Obama administration, and oddly enough, during the previous Bush administration. So this is not a right or a left or a Democrat or a Republican issue. And what you're seeing, what Trump is doing, is moving away from that, where the individual is important, where the right of the people is important, and the centralized government has to be minimized. But they're calling him a fascist. There's an Antifa movement today, which is extremely fascist, which beats people on the head if they say anything different than the ultra-left-wing ideology, extremely far-left and very militaristic in terms of not allowing other people to talk. So censorship is one of the big elements of fascism. And now I want to read this, the Wikipedia definition of fascism. Now, this is where it gets a little interesting. Let me pull this up here. Now, this is according to Wikipedia, which, of course, is a fascist organization. It says, is a form of far-right-wing authoritarian ultranationalism characterized by dictatorial power, forcible suppression of opposition, and strong regimentation of society and of the economy, which came to prominence in the early 20th century Europe. Okay, well, fascism is increase in militarism. That's one thing. Nationalism, which is based on the nation taking over and dominating where the person, the individual, is subordinated to the military central power, and censorship. And so not any one of these really got into the topic of censorship. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because today we are dealing with extreme censorship. And this is the beginning. This is the hallmark. This is the antithesis of fascism starting. So we have now, and let me just give you the historical perspective of where this all started. Back in the post-World War II days, a lot of German fascists came into the United States, Operation Paperclip. And these people brought with them the SS, the methods, the methodologies, the methods and tools of spying on people, regular people. They created the CIA and the NSA, the National Security Agency, which nobody even knew existed up until a number of years ago, and it was denied even when it was first exposed, when the curtain was drawn back on the NSA. People high in government said, oh, there is no such thing. There's no such thing as the NSA, and slowly it leaked out, and it turns out that this is this massive, massive governmental agency, which you pay for, that spies on literally everything you do. Then comes along the Bushes, the assassination of John Kennedy. Kennedy was a person that, for all his good and bad points, was a believer in free speech. And the effort to try and get the public brought up back. When I was a kid, for example, only the doctors and the dentist kids would go to college. It was simply not expected that somebody of my poor stature, a poor Irish kid living in a small town, was never expected that I would go to college. I would simply be some kind of worker, possibly learn a trade on the job. This is before trade schools, and trade schools were just maybe beginning at that time. But my lot in life would be to go to the military, learn a trade, come back, and hammer nails or move cement for the rest of my life. Well, just happened that I happened to be good in physics and mathematics. I got a full ride to school, to college, and had a matching grant that came from basically John Kennedy's program. But it was not because I was just given carte blanche free in college because I was just a poor kid. No, it was because I had extremely good grades. I was very much advanced over all of my peers in physics, mathematics, etc. And I went on, you know, and ultimately when I got my master's degree, it was under a program also where I literally was paid a stipend to live when I was in New Orleans and lived very humbly, very meagerly. But it was enough for me to exist and eat and go to school and get my advanced physics degree, etc. Okay, but in a fascist world, the average person is pushed down. Now, there's another very subtle way of doing this. If you give a college degree to everybody, then the person who really goes out and earns a college degree, that degree will be watered down because now everybody has one. It's a very subtle way of making your college degree, which you work for, worthless. Okay? So when they say college for all, that's another way of saying the people that really work hard and get that college degree and get a subject area of subject matter that's very relevant, or in the sciences or in mathematics or in any other field that's relevant, not simply studies, as they call it, a degree in X studies, which it just means you've read some stuff and you've taken some tests. But to give everybody a college degree is going to make sure that the college degree is worthless. That is the end result. And plus, you'll get a lot of professional students who will get two or three PhDs and live in grandma's basement until they're 45, and then by then they'll be looking for socialist retirement programs, so they never will have worked a day in their lives. Okay, so anyway, the hallmark of fascism is censorship. Okay, so let's get down to the fundamental. This is where it all begins, because this is where you, for example, control the news media. This is where you control the schools. You have the, in Hitler's Germany, they had the Hitler Youth programs where they were indoctrinated from the time they were little. That's going on in the United States in the public school system today, where liberal, socialist, fascist ideas are being impregnated into the minds of the youth from the time they walk into first grade or kindergarten even. But censorship. And the reason I'm going after this a bit is because I got an email from a friend of mine. His name is Bart Sabrell, and he was demonetized on YouTube. So for decades, Bart has been one of the voices, one of the outstanding voices, stating that NASA never went to the moon. And what's my official stance? I have an official stance. I have my personal stance, which you can probably guess. But my official stance is a scientific one. Very simply, NASA has made a scientific claim that they went to the moon. It has never been verified by a third-party independent scientific entity. And that would include countries like Russia. Russia has looked for them. They can't find them. I know Russian scientists. They have looked for the Apollo lunar landing sites. They can't find them. China has been to the moon. They have not reported anything. India is now, as I speak, landing on the moon. But their goal is not to look for Apollo landing sites. They have other mission to try and find the semblance of water near one of the moon's polar regions. But Bart has been one of the strong voices pointing out many of the difficulties with the alleged Apollo lunar landing program, and which there are many, many, many. How did they do this? How did they do that? And you could go on, the list goes on and on. But ultimately, in the scientific sense, it comes back to the fact that NASA has made a scientific claim that is not independently verified, and that's what is required for science to verify a claim. And then also, not only that, they also have to show how they did it, so other people can reproduce this scientific claim. And NASA burned all the records, or lost them, or whatever. They're not in existence. And so they can't show you how they did it, and there is no independent verification. But anyway, Bart Sabrell was demonetized on YouTube for stating his opinion that NASA never went to the moon. And he gives his evidence, etc. But anyway, this is just one other bit of fascism. When I'm guest every month, like next Wednesday, I will be guest on the Power Hour with Joyce Riley, who passed away, of course, and Daniel Brigman has boldly taken over that show, going where no man has gone before. And I'm a guest on that show once a month. It'll be next Wednesday. I think it's the first hour usually, might be the second hour, on the Power Hour, and that's on GCN Network. But they have been demonetized from YouTube. And so what is this doing? So anyway, free speech is taking a back seat. If you, for example, Wikipedia is another example, but isn't it strange that Wikipedia tries to put this fascism thing out in the left field, somewhere over there, out of sight, out of time, out of mind. And like it was a thing that happened before, and it's just, oh, that was those people back in Europe back in the early 1900s. Couldn't happen today. No, well, I'll tell you something, folks. It's happening today in a big, big way. Big time fascism going down. And you look at the freshman senators who are big on mouth, short on brains. Wow. You know, this is the kind of thing, and they are being promoted. Remember that these people read off of a script. The dumb one from New York, I don't even like to remember her name, reads from a script. When she gets off script, she sounds like a bumbling idiot, which she is. So they have her reading off of a script. There are people behind her. There's money behind her. There's people getting these people elected. And that goes into the election processes, which is another one of my topics here, election fraud. There was a man, his name is Dr. Epstein. He was in a committee meeting with Ted Cruz. This very famous video where he says that in a flash, a Facebook or a YouTube or a Twitter or a LinkedIn or some other social media can influence 3 million voters and by simply the way they send out some type of subliminal message. And, well, of course, my work deals with the actual tallying of voter fraud mathematically with the regression analysis showing that Hillary Clinton got 17 million illegal votes in the 2016 election, and she still couldn't win. And this gets back to the idea that now they're trying to get rid of the Electoral College. You're going to hear a lot about that. Like one person, one vote, it just sounds so fair. But that's exactly what the Electoral College is designed to prevent. Because if you have two corrupt cities, and God knows we got two corrupt cities in this country, if you want me to start naming them off? Let's start on the East Coast. Let's go with minor cities, Boston, you know, Maryland, Baltimore, Boston, and look at places like New York City, Chicago, Los Angeles, the Bay Area, the San Francisco area, the Seattle area, where extreme corruption has infiltrated the governments. All you need is two of those to swing the national election every time. And so your one vote, one person sounds like a wonderful plan. Sounds pretty honest to me. But the problem is, if you have two places that can stuff the ballot box, then you will have those two places basically cornering the national election from here on into the future. And as soon as they do that, they'll be able to put measures in place so your vote will never, ever count again. And that's what they want. Because the Democrats cannot win an election fairly. They have already proven that. So anyway, I'm not going to get into election politics, but this is the demise of our republic. And one of the big issues is taking over the military. Now, this gets into the next topic of Hurricane Dorian, which is right now, of course, racing up the coast of the United States and went over the Bahamas. I went on record yesterday on John Moore's show as stating that Dorian was manipulated as it sat over the Bahamas for 4 days. Now, it should have shorted out. It should have weakened over that period of time, but you could see the eye with the laser satellites pulling it back and pulling it back and pulling it back and pulling it back over and over again. So it sat there and just literally destroyed that island. And John brought up the point that the Chinese had built a big ocean facility there. And there are a lot of people in the deep state in the United States who are controlled by China, not the least of which was Hillary Clinton. And so they always talk about the Russian control of the United States. Russia's economy is the size of Italy, Italy's economy. It's minuscule. It's a pimple on the butt of the world economy, to put it bluntly. So China is a major economy and a major force in the world, not Russia. And they control a large portion of the activity that's going on in the United States. So be that as it may, not that Russia doesn't have influence. If you want to see Russian influence, just look at the Uranium One deal cut by Hillary Clinton in the State Department to sell 20% of our uranium to Russia. And I talked about that. That was part of the Obama-Iran deal, where that uranium went all the way around the world and got to Iran for free. For free, as we gave them hundreds of millions, if not billions, of dollars in cash, literally in U.S. dollar greenbacks. When's the last time a big semi drove up to your front door and unloaded major amounts of greenbacks into your front door? Hasn't happened to me lately. Well, it did happen to Iran. And right now they're trying to rectify this situation. But the point is that the people who control the hurricanes and the hurricane manipulation are in the U.S. deep state military. So there's two divisions. And I've tried to communicate this through different channels to Trump. And I don't know what he doesn't understand about this. Or maybe he does. Maybe there's things. I certainly am not privy to anything on that level. But we have people still controlling hurricanes, to much to the detriment of entire populations of people. In this case, the entire population of the Bahamas. A year ago or so, it was 2 years ago, it was Hurricane Maria. Before that, it was Florida. Hurricane Maria devastating Puerto Rico. In the end effect is that a lot of people, a lot of the population of Puerto Rico has left, and those people that remain there are struggling just for on a basic survival basis. But anyway, this is a long, drawn-out set of scenarios, but this is the beginning of fascism. And the point I want to make here is that the deep state, if you want to call them that, or the fascist left-wing basically moles that are very much infiltrated in the U.S. government and its agencies and in the military, are very much working every day, so that when they get a break, and here is my prediction on how it's going to come down, that the phone companies are also being very much controlled. Your cell phone, your means of communication, your bank accounts, your ability to manage, the ability to get information out, is going to all of a sudden, one day, come to a screeching halt. And if you look at communication like Skype or the other various types of communication, what they're doing is monitoring all that, and they're finding out who's been naughty and nice, so to speak, kind of like Santa Claus, except a dark, dark Santa Claus. And one day, like Bart Sabrell wakes up one day and all of a sudden 65% of his income has been instantly shut off. That is the future. And that's where we're going. And if you don't come out and deal with this on a one-to-one basis now, this is going to happen to all of you. And all of you who have freedom, consciousness, this is going to happen to you, and you're going to literally be, as Alex Jones says, in a prison planet. Alex Jones has been demonetized. I don't use YouTube. I've been tempted. I just had another offer this week for somebody to produce a YouTube channel for me where my show would be basically on YouTube. And I have to pull back and just say, no, this is not a good idea. That YouTube is the, basically, that's like shaking hands with the devil, making a deal with the devil, because you can be chopped off on a moment's notice. Okay, so just a quick notice that the pendulum is swinging backwards. This 20 years of constant the global climate change hysteria, finally the pendulum is starting to swing back, and it's swinging back with a vengeance. There are now scientific papers being published. Scientists are finally coming out of the woodwork, finally able to get studies published saying that man-made global climate change is simply non-existent. It's a non-entity. And I've talked about various incidents in past weeks, but I've been saying this since early 1990s, when the first the greenhouse effect first came out, and they were talking about this with a guy named Carl Sagan leading the charge. And of course, Carl started this whole greenhouse baloney back in the 1970s when he was championing the movement against Emmanuel Velikovsky. And one of their thorns in their side was all of a sudden the high temperature of Venus was recorded. And so instantly Sagan came out with the greenhouse effect, stating that Venus was hot because of a greenhouse effect. And then it was instantly shown that that doesn't work. It doesn't account for what they measured on Venus, that the heat is coming out of the planet itself, and it's a very hot planet. So the greenhouse doesn't explain how the sun made the planet core hotter than the atmosphere. It doesn't explain that. It doesn't work. It's thermodynamically impossible. And so then Carl went back to work, and he came up with the exaggerated greenhouse effect. You can't make this stuff up. This is literally what happened. But then they talked about nuclear winter, where there would be clouds from a nuclear war that would cause a winter, but at the same time saying that because of CO2 in the atmosphere, that it would cause the Earth to heat up. And this is where it all began, all of this lunacy with Carl Sagan, one of the worst scientists that ever crawled out from under a rock on planet Earth. And basically started he's the one that drew the outline of atheistic science that's being rammed down your throat today. And of course, the basis of that is that evolution, they say, is the cause of the situation in the cosmic, and biological evolution, which of course is absurd. There's a lot more going on than evolution. And so I talk about this all the time. But the pendulum now is swinging back. And as I said, I could see this when I heard the first term green. Literally was in the early 1990s, I said, this term green is going to be used for everything and everything. Corporations, advertising, everybody's going to be pounding their chest about how green they are. And now you got the Green New Deal, and you have green hysteria, and you have green marketing of products. Every kind of product is green. You know, it clearly went out of hand, and I predicted that. I said, this is going to go bonkers. So anyway, the pendulum is starting to swing backwards. And politically, it was politically incorrect. It was political suicide 2 years ago for a scientist to step up and say, hey, this political mantra of global climate change is phony. They would have been wiped off the map. They would have lost their tenure. They would have been ousted from any position they had. Now that's changing, thank goodness. So anyway, watch for more of that. But the damage, tremendous damage, has been done with the green and the global climate change industry, which it literally is. But anyway, I want to jump back for a minute to the Hurricane Dorian story here. In that, isn't it interesting that a week before Dorian hits, and of course, this sounds too much planned to be even possibly true. I mean, it sounds like very much orchestrated. Somebody leaks to the press. Allegedly, Trump supposedly talking about nuking hurricanes. At the same time, all of a sudden this Hurricane Dorian comes out of the closet, out of nowhere, and starts rampaging through the Caribbean islands and comes up and sits on the Bahamas for 4 days. And we're expected to believe now that then this whole entourage, this whole sequence of events happens. Then Noah comes out, being published all over the place, all over the press, saying that it's a bad idea to nuke hurricanes because of the fallout, and it would come in, it would destroy the environment. And so it makes Trump, you know, they keep carrying on this story, and there's no evidence that he even said this. Or if he did, it was some type of a quip, like, can't we do something with these hurricanes? Can't we nuke them? And the story is, here's the real story. NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, the National Weather Service, basically, is a group of Tier 2 scientists. Tier 1 scientists are manipulating the storm. So the Tier 2 NOAA gets the press saying that there's no way to manipulate a hurricane, while you have the Tier 1 people actually doing it. And then they have this side circus story about Trump talking about nuking a hurricane and trying to make him look crazy. You can see the manipulation going on. And this was all planned. This was all planned. That leak from a national security meeting, which should have never happened in the first place, that Trump said something about nuking a hurricane, isn't that interesting timing as a hurricane comes out of nowhere and sits over the Bahamas for 4 days and destroys the island. Isn't that interesting? And then here's the final clincher. The real story about hurricanes being manipulated, how it does, how it happens, how it works, it's not done by World War II technology. It's done by laser satellites, which I understand completely how it works and where how this and who is doing it. All of that story is completely subverted. So the real news is completely subverted. It's replaced by a bogus story. And it's brought about by a plant story that was 2 days before Hurricane Dorian emerged. Now you can see the whole pattern. Now, so when I'm talking about fascism, this is fascism at its best. And the other thing, and from a scientific standpoint, from my work, there was no energy source for Hurricane Dorian. It was an isolated storm. There were no other storms on the planet. Typically, when you have big hurricanes in an area, especially the size of Dorian, you would have other storms also because of the energy flow in the atmosphere. There was no source of energy for Hurricane Dorian. So once again, this I saw a video of some clown weatherman, and he had very amazing video effects where he had a big round table and he showed the hurricane, and they had the updrafts and the arrows, and the heat from the water was generating this hurricane, and it had the low pressure cell and the high pressure cell, and totally bogus. Totally bogus. Here's some clown repeating what he was told to repeat, what he learned in meteorological school, which is totally bogus because there's no way to get energy from warm water to create a hurricane. It's impossible. Thermodynamically, it is impossible, and there's not enough energy to create a hurricane from warm water. The little teeny change in temperature that occurs as a hurricane moves over the warm tropical waters is due to the fact that water is evaporating. The winds evaporate the water, and that's where the cooling comes from of the ocean. That's not what's driving the storm at all. I always liken it to a person who looks at a car going down the road for the first time, and somebody says, well, what's powering the car going down the road? And they say, well, there's exhaust coming out of the exhaust pipe, so it must be like a rocket engine pushing the car down the road. But if you went and actually made a measurement and thought about it for 2 seconds, you'd say, wait a minute, this is a big, heavy car, weighs 2 tons, and it's moving down the road, and there's this little teeny trickle of air coming out the exhaust pipe. That couldn't be what's pushing it down the road. And then you'd look for the real source of energy to move the car down the road, which is a big internal combustion engine under the hood, which you can't see from a distance. So at any rate, it's the same thing. There's not enough energy in warm water, but you get Mr. Bozo Weatherman up there talking, and he doesn't have enough. He probably flunked freshman physics, and that's why he went into meteorology. And, you know, sorry, but that's just the way it is. These people have no physics training at all. They don't understand thermodynamics. I saw another explanation talking about spaghetti models. So there's 20 different computer models out there from colleges and universities and the National Weather Association and the National Hurricane Prediction Center, and all of these agencies have a computer model that they try and predict where the hurricane is going to go. And then they map all of these, and they call it spaghetti models because you've got 20 different paths, and it looks like spaghetti, so they call it spaghetti modeling. And so guess what? One of those is probably going to be close to right. And then that group is going to go, look, our model did the best. And they're going to pound themselves on the chest until the next hurricane comes along. And somebody else will be close. And so they'll go, oh, our model is good. And they'll continue to do this when not a single factor. I've seen these computer models. I've seen the input parameters. Not a single parameter in their basket of parameters has any validity at all. It has nothing to do with hurricanes at all. So at any rate, and here's the one that is the clincher. I saw a NASA video of Hurricane Dorian with all the lightning going on. They were recording the lightning strikes, and these are big lightning strikes coming out the bottom of the hurricane. And they go, Dorian is creating these electrical discharges, which is impossible. If you have a battery system, which they're claiming the hurricane is, it's impossible for that electricity to shoot out the outside. The way it's going to discharge is internally, because there's no electrical path given their model. The reality is the electricity is creating the storm. NASA's saying the storm is creating the electricity. They got it backwards. It's upside down, inside out, and backwards wrong. So anyway, this is the real story. So you can imagine my frustration after years and years of dealing with this and watching this insanity going on. And it's still going on. But the problem is you have people's lives being ruined over and over and over again. And it looks like somebody is trying to take over the Bahamas, and it looks like it's the Chinese working through the United States deep state military who's controlling that hurricane. Just want to mention something. I have to be a little honest and frank with my audience. My water filter sales over the summer have been pretty sparse. I'll just put it that way. I mean, I have the best water filters on the market. There's nothing like them at all. And the pricing is unbelievable. If you compare my pricing to anything out there that's even remotely similar, my prices are way lower. You don't have to buy add-on filters to take out the arsenic and fluoride. And by the way, those add-on filters only last for 500 gallons. I just talked to a customer the other day who was buying my filters to replace their other brand where they had to use the add-on filters. Didn't even know that those add-on filters only last for 500 gallons. So they've been drinking fluoride and arsenic in their water, thinking it's been filtered out by some other brand. And so I have the best water filters, but my sales are really not very good. So, and it's not keeping up with the bills that I have to pay to maintain all the things, my webpage, the radio show, the, you know, all of the other expenses that go with this. And this is not giving money to me at all. I'm just talking about maintaining my expenses. And so being a rather elderly gentleman, I depend on this income from the water filters to keep things going. The wing generator stuff, that's a whole different issue. That's a business that's starting. There's a lot more expenses involved there than there are, dealing with income, etc. So my radio show and all of this is dependent on the water filter sale. So here's the message, that if I'm going to give it another week, And if my sales of my water filter products and my books, etc., was on sale on my webpage, jmccsci.com, if those don't improve up to a sustaining level over the next week, I'm going to unfortunately have to go start selling on Amazon, something that I have refused to do up to this point. But all of my competitors sell on Amazon, and I'm sitting over in my own little webpage faltering, and my audience is not, and I'm not telling you, if you don't need water filters, then don't go out and buy something just because I'm saying this. All I'm saying is that if you do need water filters, take a look at mine because they're the best ones on the market, the best pricing and free shipping, and then the home, the whole house water filters, etc., unbelievably low pricing with the MR5 and MR7 that I just came out with. Amazing for whole house filtration or for small businesses that need clean water, etc. But if I don't have the business picking up in the next week, unfortunately, I'm going to have to go sell on Amazon. And I've looked at other platforms, and really, that's where all the traffic is. And unfortunately, and that's another part of fascism. Breaking down, it's estimated that 200 million mom-and-pop shops have been put under by Amazon. And that's what happens. You can't compete against the volume. And then I pay $35 to ship a filter across the country, and Amazon pays $3. You know, this is fascism. This is the way it's destroying the culture of the United States. And I think it's a good thing that people are buying online, but to have it just at one place is not good. Even Walmart is feeling the pinch of Amazon, if you can imagine that. People are buying, ear swabs and, Kleenex online because it's free shipping. You don't have to go to the store. It just comes to your front door because Amazon's got a deal cut with UPS and shipping, etc., like that, with UPS and FedEx and the Postal Service. So they're squeezing out any competition. And is Amazon, do they have the element of control from the CIA? Just like Google is owned by CIA, Google search results, when you search on, if you went to the internet and searched on water filters, my name would not come up. The only reason people go to my site is because you're out there listening. You think that I'm doing good, that I have the best water filters products, which I do. And that's why you buy from me. But the average guy that goes on the internet and looks up water filters, my name is not going to come up. Just not going to happen. So I either have to come out of my cocoon or my audience, if my audience doesn't step up and make more orders. That's simple. So anyway, I'm not going to go on about that. I just want to be honest with you and tell you how things are going here. Other than that, my health is fine. I'm doing great, very happy, very healthy, working on all the things I want to do. I'm working on a new book, second book in the series, in the Prime Number series. Really powerful information. And doing my paid cast. That's another thing. People could join the paid cast. That helps out a lot. Or tell people about the paid cast. It's only $3.95 per month. But if you add up a lot of people, that would help. And there again, I don't have the big numbers I should have for the paid cast because I'm not advertising on YouTube or Facebook and those social entities owned by the CIA. So at any rate, it's difficult out here. But I'll tell you something else. I'm still here, and there's other companies that tried to get too big for their britches, hosts. And they've all fallen by the wayside because of that. They got too big. Then they depended on this massive income to support it all, and then they topple. So I'm small. I'm, my operation is small. It's just me. And sometimes I have a few people helping with a few minor things. And my webpage is horrifically out of date. I know that. But I'm still here. I'm still doing my weekly radio show. I pay for the airtime on my radio show out of my pocket. And so if you buy filters or not, this radio show is still here. Just like it has been here for the last 20 years, through the ups and the downs and the craziness and the goofiness and everything else that comes along down the pike, I'm still here. I've been on the radio probably longer than most people out there. If you look at the big names, the big, big names out there, I've probably been around longer than pretty much all of them. By the way, somebody suggested this week that I go on a platform called DTube, and there's other video platforms out there. But with DTube, you have to host your own server space to host your videos, and that's just a reference link. And they don't have the traffic, and so anyway, it's not a cure-all, it's not a replacement. Unfortunately, the social medias have been taken over by fascists, and that's what we're dealing with here. People like Bart Sobrell should be able to continue being monetized on a monetized platform like YouTube. I should be able to go there. And I was one of the very first people to be censored off of YouTube. When somebody would, but this goes back way to the beginning of YouTube, if somebody would put in a comment about Jim McCanny or go to his webpage, it would be immediately scrubbed. This is long before anybody else was demonetized or long before there was even monetization of YouTube. At any rate, just a quick comment here. There are internet scams out there aplenty today. There have just been some recent articles and targeting, say, they target certain groups of people. One of them is targeting middle to middle-aged women who it's like a dating service with military men. So they take pictures of military men off the internet, off of YouTube or off of Facebook. They go out, they get these pictures, and then they set up like a dating service, and they start finding, probably through clickbait, women to sign up, and they start these internet relationships. And of course, the service guy is somewhere overseas. He's nowhere to be found. And so they convince these women that they have to send them money. There's some, they always set up some scenario. Oh, you got to send us money, and if you know, I can come and see you or whatever. And these people are professionals, and what they're finding is in that a lot of the poorer African nations, they have sweatshops where these people work 24/7, hundreds of people in a room running these scams. And they're all kinds of scams, and I hate to admit it, but I have been trapped, not in dating service scam, but in other types of scam, business-related scams. And I'll tell you, these people are very professional. They are extremely professional at what they do in scamming people. And they've got it down, and they look like they're operating in the United States, and they're not. So it's I'll tell you, and a lot of people are being scammed today, so watch out on the internet. And the basic rule is, if somebody wants you to send them money, stop talking right there. I actually just had one the other day where it's negotiating. Okay, that sounds good. Let's get things, you know, some contracts, start looking at contracts, etc. And then comes the ploy. Send us some money so we can do this. If you send us $1,000 up front, then we won't charge you $10,000 later. It's like, okay, the end of that one, bye. Don't talk to that person anymore. It's just, you know, it's everywhere. I'll tell you, and it's very tempting sometimes, given the situation. You think, oh, well, that would be a good deal. This person looks very honest. And that's the clincher. When somebody asks you to send them money, slam the door. Go away. And then also be very careful not to send people information. Personal information about family and friends and where you live or business information. All of this, you know, the information can be used by scammers then to do other scams. So they're fishing for information, they're fishing for trust, and then they're fishing for you to send money. And a lot of times the send money part doesn't come until the punchline. So anyway, just buyer beware, the internet. And this, by the way, could all be cured. This could all be cured in the infiltration of your computer by the NSA and by hackers and by corporate computers by hackers. This never, ever should have been. The assumption that somehow somebody can come outside and get into your machine and track what you're doing and monitor it and then take information out of your machine, this is all put in there by the NSA, by the CIA, and they allow it. In fact, they demand that any software company allow them to get in. They allow them a backdoor to get into your computer through that software. So your computer, even though, and that's, I talk about this in my book, Breaking RSA Codes for Fun and Profit, where I talk about this whole computer security industry, it's a giant fraud because they're selling you something that doesn't exist. There is no computer security at all today, whether it's corporate, whether it's you, the individual, or whether it's a bank, whether it's a government, whatever, it's a myth. There is no computer security because the NSA and the CIA guarantee that any software that you get is going to have gaping holes, and the hackers know it. They use the same entry points, and so you are just like a walking sieve walking down the street. I give the example in my book and my other lectures dealing with this on my paid cast where I talk about cybersecurity. It would be like you're in a group of 100 people, okay, and you have to walk down this street, and there's one thief, and he's going to rob one person. And so some guy comes along and says, hey, I'm going to sell you this special armor. If you buy my armor, you're not going to get attacked when you walk down the street. And so anyway, you buy the guy's special armor. You pay him the money, gives you the armor. 100 people walk down the street, and one person gets robbed. Well, none of you know who the person is that got robbed. All you know is you did not get robbed. So you think that the armor that you bought did you some good. So then you go back and you pay the guy again next year for the same armor, which doesn't do anything. It doesn't protect you at all. It's just that you're one of 100 guys walking down the street, and your chance of being robbed are 1 in 100. But as a little person out in the real world, you're not a big fish. They're more interested in Sears or Target or Capital One or whoever. That's the big hackers are going after them. But you are also susceptible to other types of basically hacking attacks, stealing your information, stealing your personage, your identity, identity theft, and using it and selling it on the open market. So whenever you get junk mail, somebody made money selling your information. That didn't come for free. Somebody paid somebody to get your information to send you that junk mail. And if you're like most people, you have a spam filter that collects all that spam on a daily basis and gets rid of it so you don't see it. But still, a lot of it gets through. So anyway, all I'm saying is that computer security in this day and age is a farce. But this is a huge but. It could all be cured overnight. There's no reason, there's no electrical engineering, there's no programming reason why somebody should be able to get into your information and steal it off your computer and watch what you're doing. There is no reason. A computer does things because it's been programmed to do them. So if somebody's getting information out of your computer or getting into somebody's database online, it's because somebody wrote code to allow them to do that. And they're taking advantage of that. That's as simple as it gets. And so your cell phone, another example, they're coming out with 5G. 5G is going to watch everything you do. 4G is already very bad. Your camera is on, you're being recorded. You know, it's unbelievable. There are people who are watching you potentially 24/7 through your cell phone that you are paying for. Yeah. So take that to the bank. put that in your pipe and smoke it. And if you want to know more about this, read my book, Breaking RSA Codes for Fun and Profit, which talks about the loathsome computer security industry, the NSA, the CIA, etc. That's where I go into a lot of detail. Okay, I just want to give a little insight into what I'm doing in my paid cast right now, because there's probably many of you out there who have not gotten any of my paid casts or not familiar with them. But right now I'm doing a course. It's a 100-part series, started in June, and it's going to go for 100 weeks, one program per week, an hour every week from my paid cast. And it deals with education, the future of our youth. Our children and youth is the title, the main title. But what I've been talking about lately, these are the first four lessons of this, if you want to call them, are for parents. And then starting in July, I started getting into information that would go to both parents and students. And it doesn't matter what level the students are at, because, say, students are in college right now, they have been taught so many misconceptions and lies and bad information, badly organized information in the school system, that it's amazing they're even walking around and chewing gum at the same time at all. But at any rate, I want to give you a couple of the thought processes that I'm going through as I'm presenting my current lectures on energy and time. I'm talking about basic fundamental tools that people need when they're a student or adults. There are a lot of people that are probably adults, grandmas and grandpas, and they've never, ever understood the fact that there's a being, there's an energy being living in them that has a lot to do with your daily activity. And I realized this a long time ago, so I became very conversive with my internal being, and it's something that it's so much a part of you that you really don't understand that, and it's not a division, it's like two entities working together. And that's what makes you different than the monkey out in the jungle, which that's what Carl Sagan would tell you, that you're just a little bit smarter monkey than the one that's still out there in the jungle. That's what Carl Sagan, atheistic evolution science, would teach you. But it's not true. And so at any rate, I'm talking about these topics in my paid cast, and the concept of consistency, of the concept of time, that there is no need for a beginning and an end, and our frail human vision of things. So I suggest also that if you've not joined my paid cast, that go and do that. Go to my webpage, jmccsci.com. Remember my water filters. Remember, I'm going to have to give it a week time for you to step up to the plate and buy my water filters, or I'm going to have to go out onto other platforms, which I don't want to do. That has its own set of problems. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. Remember the webpage, jmccsci.com. This is my Science Hour. We are at the crossroads. Good night.